Welcome to the James River Community Church Sermon Replay. James River Community Church is driven to know Christ and to make Him known. We are a theologically reformed, mission-minded congregation. Our intention is to grow in the grace and enjoyment of God in all things. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at jamesrivercommunitychurch.org.
As Johnny said, my name is Ben Lopresti. And this is my first week. This is my seventh day. So I started here at James River Community Church on Monday morning, and I'm really excited to be here. This first sermon is going to be a little bit atypical, maybe even not a sermon really, but I kind of wanted to just share my testimony a little bit, share a little bit about my story. I was speaking with the elders before I came here about, you know, kind of how maybe what I should preach on. Figure they might know the church a little better than I did. They might have their finger kind of on the pulse of the church a little bit more. And they communicated to me, I'm going to move this to my back pocket. They communicated to me that the main question or kind of reservation that they kind of heard from the congregation as you guys were voting on whether to offer me a job or not was that some people didn't know me, right? Like the search team and I kind of spent quite a bit of time together, interviewed and things like that. But a lot of the rest of the congregation was kind of asked to vote based on just two sermons in June that I preached when I came here. And so they said, you know, maybe I was kind of thinking maybe I'll preach through the statement of faith or some other things. They said, just try to maybe help communicate to people who you are and kind of a little bit about your story. That might be the most helpful thing to start with. And so that's what I plan on doing this morning, and maybe for the better part of August. This morning, I just wanted to share my testimony. Can I tell you kind of where I've come from in my adult life and what the Lord has taught me in various seasons of my life? Then maybe for another couple Sundays in the month of August, kind of share from the Word, some like deep theological truths that have like shaped me and kind of had formative influences on me. So this morning, largely just a story, largely just who I am, where I came from, that kind of thing. And then, like I said, in September, we'll dive right in with an expositional sermon series that I'm kind of thinking through and praying through right now. Plan on running some ideas by the elders this afternoon, and we'll kind of get some clarity there. But I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to, for the next few minutes, just kind of share my story and kind of talk to you a little bit about who I am. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you have and you continue to treat each and every one of us better than we deserve to be treated. Lord, we thank you that the gospel is true, that what we sang about just now is true, and that your grace is sufficient for us. Please bless this time. Please help us just to get to know one another, and please help us to please help me to introduce myself well and set the stage for what I hope is a long and enjoyable and fruitful season here at James River. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. All right, so it's kind of informal this morning. On the front end, kind of to start out, just make it very clear, I'm really thrilled to be here, really excited to be here. I've spoken with a few of you guys throughout the week at the Bible studies and the small groups and things like that, and what I communicated more or less in those is about what I want to communicate now, which is that so excited to be here. This is, in a very real sense, my dream job. Like, this is kind of what I would, if I could have like drawn out exactly what I wanted to do upon arriving here at James River, upon leaving Louisville, it would have been to be a pastor at a church like this, in a place like this, with people like this. I love teaching the Bible. I love spending, you know, unhurried time in God's Word and thinking deeply about it and kind of communicating the truth of the Bible to people. I love caring for God's people. I love spending time with people, listening about their lives and their stories and asking questions about how the Lord's working in their lives. I love helping show them how the gospel confronts and meets them in the brokenness and hurt in their life, how it brings healing to, you know, the most dire of situations. So I'm super thrilled to be here. Couldn't be more excited. Since Monday, it's just been the best, like I said, the best thing ever. And yet at the same time, I'm a little bit afraid. I kind of have some anxiety or some nervousness, I guess, kind of residing in my soul a little bit. You know, as I was saying at the men's group, I kind of feel like a baseball player who, you know, like got called up from the minor leagues into the major leagues, and like he could like hit okay. You know, he could like bat 285 in the minors, but like I just watched a fastball documentary last night on Netflix, so that's why this is in my head, I guess. But like if they throw 85, of course you can get on base, no problem. But then you go to the majors and they're throwing like 102, and like the guy, like, you know, the guys in the majors were talking about it, they were interviewing him, and they're like, you can't even see it. Like the synapses in your brain can't even like process the information fast enough. It's like as soon as you see the ball leave his hand, it's already in the catcher's mitt. And you're like, there's no way I can hit it. So anyways, I feel like that maybe a little bit right now. Like I stepped into something that's maybe I've never been an elder in a church before. I've never, you know, I've been a member, been an intern, a deacon, a staff person, but I've never held the office of elder until right here. And I was kind of studying the Bible before coming here and this past week about that. And it was like scary. Like I'm legitimately like afraid of this job. Hebrews 13:17 says that elders are tasked with keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account, right? I mean, unless I'm misunderstanding that, it seems to indicate that when elders die, they stand before the God of the universe and have to answer to the sovereign God for the health and well-being of the souls of the people that were under his care. That's a scary thing. That's weighty, and I'm feeling the weight of that. James 3:1 instructs us that not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Or Jesus in Matthew 18 says that if someone causes one of his children to sin, then it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned into the depths of the sea, right? Like my week and like the weeks leading up to it have kind of been this like both things true at the same time, really excited, nowhere else I'd rather be in the world than right here doing this job, and really scared and a little bit, you know, feeling the weight of the job that the Lord and that you all have called me to. So that's kind of a little insight, I guess, on the front end into my soul and kind of what's swirling around there. With that in view, I kind of wanted to just jump in and kind of, like I said, start more or less in college. 2002 is when I went off to college, and kind of maybe bring you up to speed to where I am now. I grew up here in Smithfield. Not, I guess we're in Suffolk, but I grew up in Smithfield. Graduated from Smithfield High School in 2002, and then went off to James Madison University. So that's kind of, so 02 to 06 was James Madison University, and I showed up at JMU my freshman year as just a total knucklehead. I mean, just a kid who had so much to learn. I was regenerate. I mean, I was a believer. My parents were believers, and they taught me the gospel at a young age. And I think I was well-intentioned, but I just had some youthful immaturity that I had to shake. I had some folly that was just kind of on me from like teenage years of rebellion and playing in a punk band and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, it's embarrassing. So I went to the Governor's School, who some of you guys are familiar with. So they taught me how to play music, and then I returned the favor by becoming a punk rock band guy. They were like, why did we invest all that in that guy? So I go to James Madison University, and my parents used to kind of joke when I was a kid that like they thought I was going to grow up and be a lawyer, because I would just argue everything constantly, just ad nauseum. I mean, I gave them such a hard time raising me. I have an older brother, younger sister. They're both now married, have kids, so I've got nieces and nephews. But they were just so easy to raise, in contrast to me, who was just a just a constant, like my dad used to joke that I gave him all of his gray hair because he was always fielding phone calls from school. You know, I was maybe a little too smart for my own good and just never heard a rule that I was comfortable like following or an authority figure that I wasn't initially skeptical of and wanted to hear why 1,000 times for everything that anyone told me to do. And so that was kind of, so again, that was kind of me as a teenager, coming out of that season. I mean, I didn't know how to triage what things are worth arguing about and what things you just kind of accept and just roll with it. It's not, every hill was a hill that I had to die on, all through my teenage years. And I think it was just utterly exhausting for my parents and my family. But that's like the kid who went off to college at JMU in 2002. I mean, I remember my dad giving me the same lecture. Now, I came to find out after I kind of grew up and studied the Bible that he was just lifting it from 1 Peter 2. But he gave me the same lecture 1,000 times growing up, which is like, Ben, you have to learn to follow before you can lead. You have to learn to submit to authority, whether it's good or bad. If you ever get to be an authority, then you can be good. You can do things right. But now, when you're under authority, you have to submit to authority, and you kind of have to just, you know, bide your time. That's kind of the nature of life and of the Christian life. And so, heard that a lot. That was the kid that showed up to JMU, and the Lord just used the next 4 years just profoundly in my life. I kind of immediately, or more or less immediately, got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, their kind of local chapter at James Madison University, which was under the leadership of a great man named Dan Flynn. And this was the first time I kind of caught a vision for the Christian life unlike I had known it or experienced it before. I started practicing the spiritual disciplines. I started reading my Bible. I started spending time in prayer and talking with the Lord. I started sharing my faith with other people. James, the 02 to 06, JMU was kind of my first, experience with discipleship relationships and kind of having older brothers that would spend time with me intentionally, and we would study the Bible together. They would, point out sin in my life and call me to repent of it. And then they would like mobilize me to have discipling relationships with other younger brothers. This was all new to me. No real experience with these kinds of things prior to college. And so this was just a huge time in my life where I grew spiritually, but I also grew socially and emotionally and intellectually. I was on academic probation after the first semester, so I had to grow academically, or else I would have been kicked out of college. I had a 1.9 GPA. Which is really bad. I wasn't trying, or maybe it's just that I didn't really know how to. I'd never really had to exert effort before in my life, and so I got to college, and all of a sudden I had to, and I didn't really know how to do it. So just was kind of hit right away with just my own inadequacy and my own need to be humble and to ask questions and to learn and grow, all of which were kind of new to me. And so for the next 4 years, I spent kind of climbing out of that academic hole that I put myself in, and I spent it kind of trying to learn how to walk with the Lord and figure out what I wanted to do. And the more I did it over those 4 years, the more I was starting to feel called into ministry. The more I loved walking with God. I loved teaching others the Bible. I liked going to church, which was kind of a new thing for me. I loved the people of God. 4 years. Coming to understand the gospel and its centrality in the life of a believer, coming to practice the spiritual disciplines and how the Lord uses those to grow his people and to shape his people into the people that he wants them to be. That's college. Those are the things that I learned. Kind of, that's the billboard, I guess, that's what college represents there. And so I graduated college in 06 and joined staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, largely to help other people have a similar experience when they go to college. Help people see Jesus more clearly. Help them to help the gospel to kind of go from black and white to color in people's lives. Help them to learn to love to read their Bible. Learn to love spending time with the people of God. And so I spent a few years on staff with Crusade doing that same thing. I'm gonna make sure I don't go over too long here. It's very easy. So yeah, for several years on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, I was at James Madison University, same place where I was a student. And so my whole job was basically to spend time with college students and share the gospel with them and disciple them. So I'd like go to the gym and just play basketball and meet. It was tougher in America with like Americans. Like we went on a couple mission trips overseas and it was really easy because people wanted to, it wasn't weird to ask someone, hey, will you be my friend? Like after you play basketball with them. It was weird to do that in America. So you just kind of have to figure it out. You have to find inroads to meet people. I would like just go into the dining hall and just sit down with a random person who was sitting there by themselves and ask them if they wanted to like have lunch together. And most of the time they'd say no, which like they'd rather eat alone than eat with me because they probably thought I was going to share the gospel with them or something, which I was. But I joined the James Madison University Free Thinkers Club, which is like the atheist club on campus. Figured I got to meet some students somehow. So literally, I Googled like JMU Atheist Club, and it popped up, and I emailed their president, and I was like, hey, we're not on the same team here. Like, I'm a Christian, and my whole job is to try to convert people to be Christians, and you're not totally on board with that, but can I still come to your meeting? I'd love to. And she's like, sure, come on out. And so every week, I would meet with the Atheist Club on JMU's campus and spend time with them, and it was really interesting. I found that a lot of these people thought that all Christians were mean, and they thought that all Christians were stupid. And so I didn't necessarily go in thinking I'm going to turn this into like a church, like a meeting of Christians, but I did think I'm going to, at the very least, spend some time with these people and care for them and help them see a Christian who's not mean and who's not stupid, someone who can engage with them a little bit and someone who loves them and is kind to them. So those are the kinds of things I did when I was on staff with Crusade, a lot of Bible teaching, a lot of discipling college students, those kinds of things. And I loved it and would have done it forever. Except that I was convicted after a few years of being on staff with Crusade. I was convicted not of being a bad like employee of Crusade or of being a bad campus minister or of not being faithful in evangelism, all of those things I was kind of throwing myself into full bore. I was convicted, though, that I was not a good church member at my local church. I was committing my entire life, more or less, to kind of building relationships and teaching people about Jesus, but I was a nominal church attender at best. And I was not submitted to the authority of the elders and pastors at my local church. I was kind of maintaining this long since forgotten church membership with a church that was hundreds of miles away. And I wasn't really living in any sort of covenant commitment with the church that I attended. I was convicted because the Christian life is meant to be lived under the authority of godly elders. It's meant to be lived in the context of a local church. I mean, without that, we're kind of at the mercy of our own perspective, which as I looked in Scripture, particularly at Matthew 7, is a perilous place to be, right? Matthew 7, Jesus kind of communicates that the default posture of the human heart is to be keenly, painfully aware of just microscopic sin and mistakes and inadequacies in everyone around me while being completely just painfully oblivious to the massive and glaring sin that's in my own life and in my own heart. And so that's kind of the function of the church, is to, we bring this much needed perspective to one another. We speak the truth in love. And I kind of looked at my life and looked at the majority of my time being spent with Crusade, and I was just convicted that I wasn't being a faithful church member. And I kind of had this growing conviction that the Lord intends to use his church as his primary means to accomplish his mission in the world. So even though I loved and still do love Campus Crusade, love them, support them, I decided to leave staff and pursue pastoral ministry in the local church. And so where I went was down to Denton, Texas, which is just outside of Dallas. There's a pastor down there named Tom Nelson who kind of has this discipleship program where he'll bring guys in, young guys who aspire to be pastors, and kind of have this like Christian, like this pastoral training boot camp kind of thing where you, you know, every morning, 6 a.m., you kind of go in and study the Bible and theology and church history and all this kind of stuff, and then you go work a job in Denton somewhere and come back in the evenings and serve in the church. That's kind of his program, and so I went and did that. I'd been introduced to Tom Nelson a few years prior, and he was another kind of like the second formative influence in my life. If Dan Flynn and his ministry kind of introduced me to the gospel and the Christian life and spiritual disciplines and walking with the Lord and evangelism, all these kinds of things, Tom Nelson introduced me to expositional Bible teaching and deep, weighty theology and like doctrine and why those things are important and why they matter. I had kind of run into Tom, like I said, when I was in school, and instantly started just listening to and reading everything from him I could get my hands on. Hundreds of sermons throughout the course of my college career of Tom I would listen to online, like a 53-part sermon series that worked through Romans. I listened to every single one of them as I was teaching the book of Romans to some of the students that I was working with. And so I think I want to be a pastor, and I think Tom and his program is going to be a good first start. So I left staff, moved to Denton, Texas, and kind of jumped in and started going through his program there. And then about a year later, when that program was over, was kind of feeling like more affirmation that the Lord was calling me to pastoral ministry. And so I asked Tom, I was like, what do I do now? Like, what's the next thing to be a pastor? And he's like, you should go to seminary. So that was spring of 2010. And I kind of set off to go to seminary. Didn't really know where I was going to go. I was either going to stay in Dallas and go to the Dallas Theological Seminary, or I was going to move to Orlando and then go to the Reformed Theological Seminary, or I was going to move to Louisville and go to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I was kind of toying with a few of those different things, and two of my best friends in the world invited me to Louisville. They went to Southern. They were in Louisville, so they said, yeah, you should definitely come to Southern. And so despite the fact that I have had a history of not always taking counsel the best, I did. I moved to Louisville and got started right at Southern in like the summer of 2010. And so then there's kind of this five-year season of life in Louisville, which is marked by Southern Seminary for a few years. I was working at an Apple retail store the whole time. And then I was worshiping and serving at Sojourn Community Church, which is the church that I was at while I was there in Louisville. And so that's kind of the story of the next 5 years. I loved it. I loved seminary. Loved studying the Bible. I loved reading books about theology. I loved planning and praying and preparing for shepherding and pastoring God's people in a local church. I struggled really mightily, really, with foreign languages, Greek and Hebrew. Nightmare. I've tried and failed so many languages that are not English. I barely know English. And so Latin in high school, Spanish in college, Chinese a couple of times, just batting zero. Greek and Hebrew in seminary, I almost failed out of seminary and just quit because of the languages, and I barely got through them and graduated by the skin of my teeth, so I was really grateful for that. But even more than studying theology as a graduate student at Southern, I loved and was shaped by and influenced by my just being a member at Sojourn Community Church. I landed there in the fall of 2010 and kind of immediately felt like I was at home. Just kind of threw myself into their weekly rhythms of, their Sunday worship service and their community groups. I would sit under the teaching of God's word and let it kind of bring conviction. And then I would live out life during the week in community groups with other brothers and sisters and kind of let that conviction kind of give way to repentance. And it was kind of this weekly wash, rinse, and repeat. You know, gather on Sunday, it brings conviction, scatter out through the week, and it brings repentance. So kind of keep doing that over, and I loved it. It was super helpful for me. In fact, so much so that I didn't leave Louisville right when I graduated seminary. So I finished seminary in 2012, and wound up not leaving Louisville until 2015, largely because I loved Sojourn and I had kind of taken on some ministry responsibilities there and wasn't quite ready to move. I eventually moved away in 2015, but it like took me a few, like I almost left in 2013 and 14, but I didn't. It's like kind of rocking a Honda out of a snowbank. You know, I had to like slowly, and then eventually I kind of left. But as I look back on it now, I totally, like, that season in Louisville taught me some huge things. But the main thing that it taught me is kind of what it confirmed why I went there in the first place, which is the primacy and the importance of the local church and of membership in a local church. I don't think it's an overstatement at all to say that being a member in a good, healthy local church is the most important thing that a Christian can do. It's more of an asset in terms of theological development and learning theology than a graduate degree is from a seminary. It's more effective in leaning into the mission of God and serving the people of God than working in full-time ministry is. I think just being a member of a local church, just plain ordinary membership, is as high of a calling as there is. If I had to do it all over again and I had 5 years and I could just pick one, you know, either work on staff with Crusade or get a graduate degree from seminary or just be a member at a church, I would definitely choose being a member at a church every time. And this is important for us here, right? This is important for me as I step into eldership here. If you're a member of this church, of James River Community Church, that is a big deal. That is, like I said, as significant of an asset in your spiritual growth and in your participating in God's mission as there can be. And in fact, biblically speaking, it's being a member of a church is more or less the most important office that you can hold as a human being. More than, you know, being a congressman or a senator or the president of the United States, if you're a member of a church, that is a high, high calling and a very prestigious office. And so that's what this season in Louisville kind of taught me, right? Is that seminary is great and full-time ministry is excellent, but church membership is crucial to the life of a believer. In a church, you're not only going to get theological training, which you will. I aspire to, you know, teach and communicate theological truths to y'all from the pulpit here. You're not only going to get opportunities to do ministry, again, which you will, right? We kind of aspire to mobilize our members into effective and real ministry in their communities. But you'll get a family, right? You'll get a body of believers that you can love and be loved by, that you can care for and receive care from. A family where you can bear one another's burdens. When I lived in Louisville, I was involved in the only long-term relationship I've ever had with a gal. So if you're wondering, I'm 32, single, never been married. Like I said, I have an older brother, younger sister, both married, both kids. So nieces and nephews, but myself, I'm single. But the closest I ever got to that marriage arena was this gal in Louisville, and we dated for a while, got engaged, and we're like planning to be married, planning our wedding, the whole thing. And she broke up with me and moved away in like a matter of a month or two, and it was brutal. It was like I haven't had a very hard life, so I can confidently say that was the hardest thing I've ever had to go through. And it was real. I mean, just a season, a whole entire summer marked by grief and sadness and loss. And I leaned into my church in a way that I could not have done at my seminary, right? I couldn't have gotten pastoral care and counsel from other believers at seminary like I did at my church. I received care from them. I received counsel from them. It was fundamentally unlike anything that I could get anywhere else. There simply is no substitute for the local church in the life of a Christian believer. And so, you know, there's kind of this season of college where I kind of came to know the Lord or came to walk with the Lord in a newer, deeper way. And then there was a season in Louisville where I came to really understand and value and love the ministry of the local church in my life and in the life of believers. And then 2015 hits, and I moved to Arlington, Virginia, right outside of D.C., to be a pastoral intern at Cherrydale Baptist Church. And so, this was the one that eventually kind of got me to leave Louisville. I kind of, like I said, thought about leaving a couple of times, and it was largely some counsel that I received in my local church in Louisville that kind of mobilized me to leave. 2013 and 14, when I thought about it, I didn't, and it was, there might have even been a little bit of, like, latent idolatry in my heart that I kind of talked through with some of the pastors and authorities at Sojourn. They kind of communicated that maybe I was having trouble leaving because I was afraid. I was afraid that if I left, the people that I was caring for and ministering to and teaching would, I didn't know what would happen to them. And so I was kind of freed up in the spring of 2015. You know, these brothers just said, Ben, God loves the people in your community groups and the people that you're shepherding more than you do. And God is more able than you are to shepherd them and care for them. Your leaving Louisville and going to Arlington, if you do, is not you like letting go of these people, your friends and your family, and kind of surrendering them to the cold, impersonal universe. It's you putting them in the hands of a sovereign God who loves them and cares for them. And so, feel freedom to go, and it will be okay. And so that counsel kind of sank into my heart spring of 2015, and I decided to go ahead and go. I had some reservations about going to Cherrydale in general because it was an internship, and so I didn't know what I was going to do when it ended, which was a week ago. I told him before I was living in Louisville, I was like, I don't think I'm going to come. I think I'm going to stay here and just wait until a permanent ministry job presents itself because I'm a little bit hesitant about leaving my full-time job at Apple to go to a temporary internship in Arlington. And kind of talked it over with them, and they, same thing, kind of counseled me, and we thought through it, and I ended up going. And looking back now, I am super confident that it was the right decision. This past year at Cherrydale, which, like I said, I was at until July 31st, was one of the best years of my life, one of the most helpful in terms of me learning and growing as an aspiring pastor. You know, not only did I get to devote myself to full-time ministry, teaching and caring for people, discipling people full-time again, but I got to, Cherrydale was in the midst of a transition of church polity. So they were about to install the same kind of church government that we have here, which is a council of elders, one of whom is on staff and three of whom are not on staff. And so at Cherrydale, they had a bunch of pastors, and they were like, we want to kind of construct a council of elders that can lead our church. They kind of determined that to be a little bit more biblical. And so I spent the better part of the year on a team of brothers implementing that, thinking through eldership in the local church and what it is and what it's not, who is qualified to be a church elder, who is not, what elders are supposed to do, how to manage relationships between staff elders and non-staff elders. All of these kinds of things are things that I thought through at length at Cherrydale. And largely kind of where we landed, I mean, we had, again, lots of talking, thinking, reading, praying, discussing, but what we landed is that a pastor, an elder, is a shepherd. He's a person who's called to love and care for and feed and lead God's sheep, God's people in his flock, in his congregation forward. And so that was just tremendously helpful. That internship was tremendously helpful in me preparing for this job as a pastor of this church. You know, my aspiration is to step in and shepherd and lead and teach you well. And I think that I'm probably much better prepared to do so now after having been an intern at Cherrydale than I was, a year ago today. So that brings us to now. That brings us to James River Community Church, just real quick, kind of the story of how I landed here. A few months ago, my brother-in-law kind of communicated to me, who I think knows some people here, that James River was looking for a pastor. And so I kind of reached out to like the thing on the website, being pretty sure that they weren't going to, that you weren't going to call me back. Because I'm young and single and inexperienced, and I figured, you know, they would probably not want me as their pastor. But reached out anyway. And, you know, even a few times during the process when, like, I was being considered, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to get a call back. And by God's grace, I did. And they invited me down to preach here in June. So for those of you who are here, then you know that. For those of you who weren't, preached a couple times in June, and after which they kind of asked you guys to vote on whether you want to offer me the job as a pastor. And that's kind of the rest is history, more or less. Came here in June and just loved it. Didn't really know what I was stepping into, and I was just confronted with just a wonderful church. Like I said, one that I couldn't have drawn up a better church for me to be the pastor of. I was super excited. Great church with great people, just a lot of warmth and affection. A church that was described to me since I've been here as, you know, really informal, maybe informal to a fault, which is probably an exact description of me. And so that worked out really well. And great music. I was super blessed this morning as well as the other mornings that I've been here, super blessed by our musical worship that we have here at the church. And for a church this size, I think it's as excellent of a music ministry as I've ever seen. So that was really great. I'm really grateful for them. So I loved it. I came here and just loved the congregation, loved the church, loved what you guys do. And so I was really hoping and praying that you would offer me the job. And lucked out. I'm grateful to be here. That's more or less it. That brings us up to Sunday night, which Sunday night was my last day at Cherrydale. And then I packed up my parents' Suburban with a bunch of stuff and drove home to Smithfield. I'm crashing with my parents right now. So that's exciting. I have a buddy in Knoxville that owns his own business, and he just found out, this isn't in my sermon, so hopefully I'm not taking this over time, just found out that, the house that he lived in was, like, exacerbating his kids' allergies, and so they kind of decided, well, we should move to a place where, like, our kids' allergies aren't going to be made worse, and they put their house on the market for, like, more than they were thinking that they were going to get, and it sold in, like, a day. And so they're like, great, now we have to move out of our house right now, a day after we even thought that maybe we were going to eventually. So they moved in with their parents. And so I was just talking with them randomly on the phone, and I was like, yeah, all right, way to be in your 30s and live with your parents. That's what I do. This is great. Join the club. But it's a lot of fun because my brother-in-law, John, who told me about the church, he and my sister and their daughter, my niece, just moved from California, and they're living with my parents. So they're looking to buy a house, I'm looking to buy a house, and so while we all are, we're kind of just hanging out in my parents. It's like an 80s sitcom. just mayhem. Dogs ever barking, kids screaming, it's the whole thing. So I'm loving it, I'm having a blast. I might stay there for a while, I got nothing going on. But living with mom and dad as of Sunday night and working here, and it's been great. I hope that, you know, like I said, gives you a little bit more about who I am and about kind of what my story is that's brought me here. Like I said, if there's any kind of big takeaways from my testimony and how it's shaped me, it would be college, you know, 02 to 06, learning about the beauty of the gospel and the centrality of the gospel in the life of a believer and the importance of the spiritual disciplines to help a believer grow and be sanctified and become more like Jesus. That's kind of what I learned and was confronted by in college and was so blessed by it. Louisville is this kind of next season, and that would just be the importance of the local church and how utterly dangerous it is to be a sheep without a shepherd, and how wonderful it is to have a shepherd that can lead and feed and care for and protect you in the context of a local church. And then my time at Cherrydale would just be marked by the importance of biblical eldership and why it's important to have godly elders who are biblically qualified. You know, elders who don't necessarily, who aren't first and foremost managers or CEOs or public speakers or figureheads, but elders who are first and foremost shepherds, who love their people and who, again, care for them and protect them, and who, according to 1 Peter 5, do so under the authority of Jesus, who is our chief shepherd. So Jesus is kind of the senior pastor, if you will. He's the chief shepherd, and all of God's pastors and elders shepherd God's people under the authority of him as their chief shepherd. So that's kind of, again, some of the steps and stages of my life. And with all that in view, I wanted to just take this morning to kind of invite you guys to come with me as we journey together to love God more and to love one another well. You know, I invite you to just come and behold Jesus Christ with me every single week. He is all I have to give, right? I mean, outside of Christ, I have nothing to offer you here from this pulpit any given week. Every week, as best I can, I will lead us to see him and savor him. From this point forward, all I have from now until I die, or until you fire me, or until I'm forced to leave for some other reason, all I have is our sovereign Lord and God, who became a man and who lived the perfect life that none of us could live. Jesus Christ, who died an awful death on the cross in our place, who satisfied the wrath of God that was coming at us, that was rightfully meant for us, and then the sovereign God who invites us into new life with him if we will only repent of our sin and trust in his sufficiency to save us. So that's kind of the call. That's the invitation, not this morning, but into perpetuity, right? I invite you to repent and believe the gospel with me right now, and I invite you to repent and believe the gospel into perpetuity with me every Sunday, every day, for as long as I have the privilege of serving you as a pastor. So that's kind of who I am, and that's kind of maybe where I hope to go with us, is to just enjoy Jesus together as his body. So let me pray for us, and the guys can come on up, and we'll close with some music. Father, we thank you for the great privilege that it is to know you. God, that can't be overstated. It can't be overstated how glorious of a reality it is that the sovereign God of the universe has seen fit to reveal himself to broken sinners, that he has seen fit to give of himself to save broken sinners, and that he's seen fit to gather broken sinners into a family, into a church where we can live lives together with one another and where we can worship God and sojourn toward life with God under the rule of God. We thank you, and Lord, I pray that you would help us to love the gospel more and more. Please help us to love one another and live in community well. Please be glorified in us. Please help us to be satisfied in you. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.